This morning's reading is from Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34. It's found on page 884 in the Pew Bibles. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your Father, Heavenly Father, knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Thank you, Harry. There you go. Just to make a point. Thank you. So, first, a little acknowledgement, because the clock up front is one, it's an idea that I have to admit, I stole the idea from our own Jerry Krempel, who I remember did a New Year's Eve service a few years ago where he put not just one clock up front, I think he had about 12 or 14 up front. Sorry Jerry's not here today, but please, Claire, pass on the inspiration to him. And of course the idea is time. And so as I looked at this opportunity to be able to present this message today, I thought about what is it in the context, and the realization that this wasn't just a new year, but also a new decade, and kind of the significance of the decade really had an impact on me. And so I thought about, you know, what was it that I was doing about 10 years ago? And I'm going to hope that my clicker works. Well, 10 years ago at work, I was involved in a project called Y2K. I'm in an IT-type industry, and the Y2K, just briefly from a bug standpoint, computers were programmed so that the year was identified in two digits instead of the full four. And so at the turnover of the decade, we were going to, all of a sudden, all the computers were going to think it was 1900 instead of 2000, because there wasn't the two significant digits at the beginning to be able to indicate that. And there was a worldwide uproar about this. There's a whole history that goes back of why it happened. I'm not going to go into that, but it was a real problem. And some people I can see kind of shaking their heads because they experienced that. There was even, as you can see, there was survival kits that were published for that. There was all sorts of planning. People were building bunkers to be able to go to because they thought the entire power grid was going to go out. The whole communication grid was going to go out. And so there was this real panic. And I can tell you from the role that I had, which was basically to test all the changes that we made, there were significant changes that we made. There were significant problems that we found that would have affected us. But miraculously, the new year came, the celebrations happened, the lights didn't go out, the world didn't stop turning, the financial system didn't crumble on its own weight. And we had the celebrations. And probably the most significant impact of this was that if you were at a New Year's Eve party, most likely the host or some prankster at the party went and turned off the power at the New Year just to try to make everybody go mad. I know that happened at a party that I'm at. But so time went on. Time passed and time went on. And so that major milestone, that transition from that New Year, gave us a new horizon, the new way to look at things, a new future to look at. So what I want to do to begin this particular message is to kind of revisit some of those and take a look at what is this 10 years that's passed. And so let's take a look at 2000 to 2010. First, let's start with the world around us. Some major things, and these are not necessarily in date order. They're more grouped for the way that I can talk about them. But early in the decade, we had the discovery of the mapping of the human genome, which was a significant scientific thing. It should be something that lives with us for years and years to help us map the nature of humans and the way that illnesses affect us and the way that different heredity things happen. Certainly in the past decade, we had the election of a new African-American president. Regardless of political orientation, the significance of the election of African-American in this country is a significant accomplishment. It's a significant milestone. Of course, we also had an election that was introduced us all to the term Hanging Chad. Everybody remember that was within this decade where we had the Florida recount and the whole uncertainty of the outcome of that and the focus on how one state could determine the election of a president. And the other one that we have here is the collapse of a bridge in Minnesota. We saw tragedy in different ways and different places. We also had other tragedies that touched us. We had another space shuttle explode out of the air. We had several instances of mass kind of homicide type things. The one I've referenced here is the Virginia Tech shootings that happened on campus there, which really shook a lot of people. A lot of us, especially with college age kids, we think about sending our kids away to the safety, to the tranquility of a campus, that campus life, and to have that upset, that was a major thing. We saw a tsunami about 5 years ago. The raw power of nature and how it can just sweep things away. We also saw other miraculous type things, like the miraculous landing in the Hudson and the notoriety of Captain Sully. Of course, we saw lots of things in the financial structure. Lots of us have been affected by that. We saw a real downturn in the housing market, a lack of growth in that market. We saw some pretty considerable bankruptcies or major kind of financial institutions go out of business. And we also saw some fundamental kind of ethical degradation. If we think about Enron and the things that happened in this decade, the way that's fundamentally changed the way that companies do business and report their finances, that was a significant issue. Of course, the bailouts, the efforts by the government to try to save major companies like AIG and GM gave us all a different perspective on what our role is in industry and in society. Probably one of the most major impacts in the past decade to me was Hurricane Katrina. A major, again, raw force of nature that was on display. And Katrina is one of those places, New Orleans is one of those places I have actually been to since that happened. And the visual impact, the personal impact in that environment is incredible. To go by and to see the water marks at the roof lines of houses and at the bottom of bridges of overpasses on highways. And also to go through, and I spent some time and drove through some communities, and to see houses with those markings, that X marking, where the mark at the top is the date and the mark on the left is the crew that did it, and the mark at the bottom is the number of dead bodies that were found in the house. You can't not be affected by that. You can't wonder what must have went on in that environment. Katrina was one major issue, or one major accomplishment, or event, I should say accomplishment. Of course, the other that we can't ignore is 9/11 and the impact of all that. That was less than 10 years ago that happened. And we think about these events. This is another place that I've been to. I've been up the towers before this. And I've been at Ground Zero and looked in the hole that was there. In fact, I was there just a year or so after it happened, and I was in a hotel that's right near there and was talking to the doorman about how he had been standing outside the door and had actually been hit by a piece of the plane that had come through the building. And he just had a scratch on his head miraculously. But the impact that you have with that, the thought of this occurrence, and really the things that happened after that. The patriotism that that drove, but also the search for faith and the desire for faith and the desire for some sort of understanding of how this goes on. And then, of course, the result of that, which I haven't represented in pictures, the wars that that's put us into, the engagements in Iraq and Afghanistan, the darkness that that's put us into, it's things that have an impact on us. It's things that as we look, not just as humans, but also as Christians, we wonder about the world and we worry about the future of the world. But the point of this is, why worry? So let's go on. Let's look at our own area. Let's look at Greater Binghamton. First thing I think is, I couldn't find the details, but I actually think that we became Greater Binghamton area within this past decade. We used to be known as the Southern Tier, the Twin Cities, Triple Cities, or things like that. Now we're Greater Binghamton. So that's one accomplishment. Of course, we also had the other tragedies here. We had the American Civic Association, and really that devastation that happens other places, that kind of mass kind of homicide that we wouldn't think that we would experience here. It touched us here as well. Of course, you know, Cal Harris trial kind of went through the whole decade. Natural gas has been a big focus here. Of course, that has a promise of great prosperity, but also a promise of great ecological impact. I put up here one that I'm most familiar with from an economy standpoint, from a job standpoint, which is the presidential helicopter, which in this decade was a huge windfall for this area and also a devastating impact in this area. 10 years' time moves on. And of course, hopefully you're noticing the cost of gas on the sign there. I was trying to find the exact figures, but I know that gas has at least tripled in price in this decade. So let's look at 10 years of us, 10 years of Valley Church. Let's think about us 10 years ago. You know, and there's been some significant things that we've done. 10 years ago, we hadn't done 40 Days of Purpose yet. We hadn't focused on what is our purpose here in this church. And so here's some scenes from that. 40 years ago, we hadn't done Nativity yet. We hadn't gone out and lit the hill the way that we do, and we hadn't involved the kids. And you know, there's two parts of this that I've represented. There's the show that happens on the left, but there's also the fun that happens on the right, the way that the kids just love to do this. And that's part of what we've been able to do here. Likewise, 10 years ago, we hadn't done Fall Festival yet. And another thing that is becoming a part of who we are, it's becoming a part of our identity within the community, but it's also a part of what the people in this church, especially the kids, look for. I look forward to. And here's some scenes from that. I tried to find the picture of my mother as the clown, but I couldn't find that, so I slotted Aaronson. And other things that we've done as well. Of course, we hosted Sea to Sea. We created the Memorial Garden. We've done other maintenance and upkeep of the building. Time has gone on. Time has taken its toll on our membership. It's reduced our membership in terms of people moving away and in terms of people that have died, but we've also grown. We've added new members. We've added new vitality. All of that over time. Time marches on and we adapt. Now there's other things that we've done as well, and I probably have excluded some things. I tried to capture some of them here. Of course, obviously there's lots of things that we do. We pray New Parents Night Out. We do small groups. We do Sunday school. We do the dinners and the various activities that we do where we get together. We've got the youth program still. We've established, and I forgot, maybe somebody can correct me, we didn't establish CHOW within the past 10 years here, did we? Did we? I knew it was right around that time. So, 10 years of time, what an impact. What are the things that we've done? Of course, some things that I forgot to put in here, I mean, we had a big focus on Franklin Graham. We certainly have done a lot of things with boxes, with the shoe boxes. All those things, all things that have happened over time, things that people have thought about, things that people have gotten engaged with. People have dedicated their time to those. And then certainly there's my own personal 10-year journey. Some significant things that have happened in those 10. certainly for our family, the first death of a direct relative. The death of Kelly O'Day from cancer in this community was a big thing that I was a big part of, and it was a big impact on this community that a person so young could be touched by cancer. And of course, in my family, cancer actually touching my dad. Hit the button. But likewise, my family expanded, both in size and in diversity. I've seen my kids grow. My son, miraculously, graduated. And my parents saw that 50th wedding anniversary that was such a goal for my dad while he was sick. This past 10 years, it's been a significant thing. All of us can sit and think about the things that have happened. The comings and the goings, the joinings, the different things that have affected us. Time has matched it all. Time has marked it all. Time is the great continuity. It's the thing that by which we measure everything. Nothing else is as consistent. Nothing else is as aligned as time. We can't fight time. We can't stop time. We can't change it. We can't redirect it. I'll step back and look. It's still moving. I've taken this time, I've taken this effort to try to relate to you what's going on. But let's think about where do we go? Everybody knows my post. I love that thought. Time is still ticking for us. Time is still passing for us. We still have a focus. And let's think about, well, what do we worry? Well, a lot of those things, you know, I didn't mean to be so negative in the presentation. I searched and searched for those positive things. But the reality is this was a tough decade. This was a tough 10 years. There was lots of things that went on that we would look and we would say, how do we go on? How do we continue to do those things? And I ask you this morning to not worry. The reason I chose that scripture is because when I was involved in the Y2K stuff that I talked about at the beginning, I actually did a presentation here at the church, which was a community type briefing, where I used that very same scripture to try to reflect to people, don't worry about this. Even if nothing happens, even if real bad things happen, there's nothing to worry about because God is with us. We are children of God, and God will look after us. God will not give us anything more than we can handle. And we have to remember that. So what should we worry about? Well, the reality that I came upon as I went through all this material is that, you know, there's a saying that says time is on our side. And the reality is, time isn't on our side. We as Christians have a very important charter, a very important thing that we have to do. And our biggest enemy is time. Some of you that know me know that I have a pretty literal view of good and evil. I definitely have a clear portrayal of that. I can look at events like 9/11 and I can see evil personified. American Civic Association, I could see evil personified. And the reality of it as I thought about preparing this message is that time is on evil's side. Time is on the devil's side. Because we live in an environment and we live with our faith that says that those of us that know the Lord, those of us that know Jesus, time for us is infinite. Because when we leave this place, we go to a better place. Because we know our Savior. But for those people that don't know our Savior, time is their enemy. And it's our enemy too. Because if they don't know that message, if they don't know of salvation, time will pass them by. At some point along that continuum of time will come a point at which it's too late for them. That's not something that we like to think about. It's not something that we enjoy. But that's the reality of time. As we look at this retrospective of the evolution of things that we've gone through, the worry is not about the fact that there might be another 9/11. From our perspective. Certainly we can be concerned, we can work to make sure that that doesn't happen. But what we should be worried about is that who that affects, what is their ultimate destiny? The next time that a building like that falls, how many people in that building will know salvation? how many of them will know Christ? So that's our challenge. As we enter into this new decade and this new year, don't worry about those things. Don't worry about when the next shooting is going to happen. Don't worry about what's the next thing that we're going to do. Worry about people, because people are the ones that we need to worry about. And think about how we can take that worry and transition it into energy. Another major thing that happened in this past 10 years is we changed our kind of vision, our mission, our intent, at least in words, for this church. And we set it into shining Christ's light in our valley. And so to wrap up, I'd just like to say, what does that mean, to shine the light? I mean, certainly we do it in literal terms. When we do the nativity, there's a lot of lights that we're shining. And we light up a major part of this hill and this community with that. But at the same time, what are other ways that we shine the light? Well, when we first thought of this, and when we first had a lot of conversations about it, the thought was not, well, let's put a light on a hill and shine it really bright. The thought was, we have to take the light to people. We have to take it to them. We have to make them aware of it. Darkness that cannot overcome the light, and we have to take that light out. And so that's what we should be worried about. What's the next way that I can take this light? What's the next way that I can bring it into people's lives? What's the next way that I can make them see it and make them understand that the way to fight time is to know salvation?